Welcome to this brand new episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. This podcast is hosted by Mark van Horek and myself, Elias Krum. We're both from Marketing Guys, a MarTech agency based out of the Netherlands.
Today we have Olle Dalerup on the Marketing Technology Podcast. Olle is the Chief Technology Officer for Dream Data. They're based out of Denmark. And thank you very much for being on the show, Olle.
Thank you very much for having me. Looking forward to our talk.
Well, so are we. Mark is here as well. And we would like to, as a start, to know a little bit more about your personal background. So you're currently at Dream Data. How did you end up at Dream Data, or how did your career go so far?
Yeah, so I studied computer science in the second largest city in Denmark called Aarhus. And after finishing there, I joined first a company called Dynamic Web, where I did kind of my early years of building software. And then one of my good friends, he said, "Hey, I just joined this company called Trustpilot, and I think this is really something for you." And I was actually very convinced that I had to do enterprise software. So I said, "I don't think so." But he said, "Okay, come over, have a lunch with the founder, and I think then he'll convince you." And he was like, "Yeah, okay." So I did over there. And then Peter Mühlmann, who is the founder of Trustpilot, he said, "So Ole, do you know Skype?" "Yes, I know Skype." "Okay, we had a new Skype," he said. And then somehow I was convinced. Actually, 2 weeks later, I joined the company. It's a bad pitch, but it worked. I think I was just looking for, being able to do impact, right? Aren't we all? So I joined Trustpilot as employee number 10. A crazy ride the following years, building that company from 10 employees and almost 7.5 years later, we were 600 people. I managed the entire tech team with a little more than 100 people, working very close with my now co-founder, Lars, who was the VP of product. A lot of crazy things, growing from being a single coder, doing everything, and then moving into management and part of the top management. But that's also where the story for Dream Data started, because we were working at Trustpilot, and we had just done a large transition in our product teams, where we moved to a large extent completely away from building features or requesting features on our kind of roadmap into having our product teams deliver value and being responsible for delivering value. So we would, instead of telling our teams, "Build this feature, let's get the customer some insight into reviews, and then we'll go out and sell that," we would say, "Hey, well, you product manager, you figure out how we can increase revenue, and then we'll build that. But you have to prove that you can deliver more revenue before you build it." And so we'd just been past that transition. And then we were helping one of our teams understanding how can we drive more revenue. And the team we were helping is what Trustpilot was called, the consumer team. That's the team, if people know Trustpilot, it's that platform where you can go and read about reviews. Mm-hmm. That website was the consumer team. They were delivering, of course, a lot of, important KPIs for them was the number of reviews people would write and visitors and those kind of things. But it was actually driving a lot of business leads. So people would, businesses would search their own name on Google and, or maybe in combination with reviews. And then they would find Trustpilot and go in through that website and sign up. So we were generating lots of business leads in the thousands. And we were like, okay, they must be worth a lot of money. Let's go down to sales and ask how much money that's worth. And then sales come back to us and said, "Yeah, we don't think those leads are very good. They're poor leads." We're like, okay, that's not very good. Then we went to marketing and talked marketing, and marketing said, well, we kind of have the same experience. So we buy a lot of ads, we do content, and when we deliver the leads to sales, they say, these are not very good leads. We're okay, but I mean, we have to somehow start to make an agreement of what is good leads so that we can actually help sales do more sales. And then we started talking about like, how can we prove that? And when sales said, we don't think they are more good leads, what they actually said was, we don't know. Because they didn't know. They didn't know which leads they were using. They were just picking up leads and then started calling people.
On gut feeling.
On gut feeling, exactly.
Like okay. The good old sales way.
Exactly. And I think we see a lot of companies doing that still. Then we try to say, okay, we must be able to kind of justify the value of these. But we didn't have any system that could actually tell us this. We had all the data. So we've been, Trustpilot was actually customer number 3 of Segment, the first CDP.
Mm-hmm.
So we had all our tracking data. We had Salesforce. We had Salesforce synchronized over to BigQuery. So we could to a large extent understand this, but still we didn't knew kind of where our leads coming from. First, we started looking for another tool in the market that could help us do this. But we couldn't find that tool. And then unfortunately, and I'm saying unfortunately here, because at Trustpilot, that was not our business to do attribution and to do this kind of analytics. That was, we would much more have preferred to buy that tool.
Mm-hmm.
We couldn't find that tool. And then we started building it ourselves.
Well, that's usually the best startups, right? Build out of necessity.
Exactly. And so that's how it started, right? So we started building the tool inside Trustpilot. And fairly fast, we figured out, well, actually, almost any company we talk about, they also have that problem one way or another.
Mm-hmm.
And we decided to leave the company, start Dream Data. And then, well, things started moving fast, particularly this summer when we got a little bit of funding. Yeah, and now we are 10 people.
Okay, 10 people based out of Copenhagen.
Yes.
In Dream Data. So for the listeners that are not familiar with, for example, attribution or are not familiar with Trustpilot, could you explain in a brief way what Dream Data as a software does? How can it help marketers in, for example, prove their value? Because that's one of the main obstacles a lot of marketers have. You indicated it yourself at Trustpilot. You would first have to show and to prove what your actual potential of revenue is. Well, that's what a lot of marketers struggle with, and Dream Data helps you solve that problem. But could you explain in a brief way how exactly Dream Data can help marketers in this?
Yeah, let me try to do that. So so first, I think the realization for us was that we can talk about leads. Talking about how many leads we generated is not proving that we are valuable. We have to talk about how much revenue we are generating,
mm-hmm.
because that's the importance. And attribution is a way of doing that. So Dream Data solves this problem for B2B companies. So what we do is we take a company, we find all the people who's associated with that company, we map out all the activities that these individual users have done. Maybe they click some ads, maybe they got some emails from marketing, they attended the podcasts, webinars, even conferences in real life. And all those kind of things we map out. And then when a deal closes, we take the money and we have an algorithm where we apply money to each of these touch points so that we can talk about what are the touch points and the activities we have done in marketing or sales or product or support, because all of these are actually important, are driving more revenue so that we can talk about return of investment at a very fine-grained level, but also talk about more high level, where should we invest more money? Should we do more ads, more content teams? Should we do growth marketing? What is the best kind of strategic approaches we can do to make most money?
And the system actually helps you in decision making, because what I'm seeing here, and I'm looking at your website, dreamdata.io, which I'll also put in the show notes. So you're taking the touch points and you integrate that with all the channels online. And so you're giving a value to all the touch points through attribution, but a lot of software can do that, right? So if you're using analytics, Google Analytics, there's also a way of attribution or building an attribution model. Then on the other hand, there's dashboarding software. But to me, it at least seems that Dream Data is somewhere in the middle. But the cool thing I think about it is that it actually gives you an actionable analysis. So could you explain on how that analysis works and how marketers could benefit from that?
Yeah, sure. So we can seeing what you are doing. So maybe I'll just add a couple of points here. So we are very different from Google Analytics. Google Analytics is an interesting tool if you run an e-commerce. But if you run a B2B business where you have multiple kind of people involved in buying your product, Google Analytics is a poor product because only one is paying for the product at the end, but multiple people have actually been involved in closing the deal.
Yeah.
And at least when I was managing 100 tech people, then all large software deals we would do, I would be responsible for and sign off, but I would never close the deal and pay the bill. Mm-hmm. That would be an assistant of mine who would do that. And so the attribution, if you use Google Analytics there, would have been really strange. Then there would have been a lot of assistance.
So you mean the decision-making unit within B2B marketing, which is, I guess, it's around 10 people, and you're taking that into account?
Yes.
Okay, cool.
So that's the first big thing where we are different from, for example, Google Analytics. And if you look at us, where we are different from dashboarding tools is that first, we are not a dashboarding tool at all. We show dashboards, but you can't build dashboards. You could potentially use our data sets. So we expose also some of the raw data models here to some of our more advanced users. And so they can use Tableau, Looker, or whatever they prefer, Google Data Studio, to kind of build their own dashboards if they want. But we have an opinion. We have an opinion of what data you want to look at, when data is correct, and also an opinion about when you should start acting and not. And that's also where our actionable insights comes in. We will help you and at least ask questions whether this is a good performance. This could be everything from ads. So if you are kind of cost and attributable revenue ratio is very high, well, then we'll start asking questions whether you should continue consider closing these ads down, or whether you should at least start heavily optimizing them. Because if the return of investment is 3 or more years, then you're probably off wrong here.
So what we see happen a lot in online marketing is that everybody talks about data and being data driven, but in practice, the marketer is not really data driven or is not doing data driven decision making. So what you're adding here is true insight into what really makes where the revenue comes from. And you have some customers running. Can you, because this must give really great insights and probably also unexpected insights. Because in the end, I think a lot of marketers and salespeople make decisions based on gut feeling. We already talked about that. But do you have some examples of really, let's say, surprising insights that your software gave to customers?
Yes. So the list is long, but I think what we've seen a lot is that when we start with the marketing team, they have a feeling that their ads are really good.
Uh-huh.
They just feel like sales don't believe them when they say so. When we look at the data, I will say that in most cases, it is correct that 50% of the ads are not worth doing. I'll also add that the other 50% are very often a good idea to have,
mm-hmm.
but they are not scalable. So a very easy example of that is that when you do your Google ads, your Google search ads, then if you divide, kind of separate the branded ads from the non-branded ads, then you'll see a very good return on investment on your branded ads as a B2B marketer.
Mm-hmm.
But the non-branded ads are a little more complex.
Okay.
I'll also add that you can often optimize this if you're aware that they perform bad. And we've seen that in a lot of cases. We've even seen that companies are able to get Facebook and similar kind of more consumer-focused ad networks to work really well.
Sorry. But,
yeah, sorry.
Yeah, I was just wondering. I'm listening. I'm trying to envision it in a practical sense. So basically, Dream Data it monetizes every touch point. So a social update is that has attributed so much to the end revenue, and you give insights that actually says. You should do more of this and you should do less of this because this mm-hmm. part has had a very positive attribution to the revenue and this other thing didn't. So do more of this. What I was wondering, because not all marketeers are tech savvy or data savvy, is it that Dream Data can help the less data savvy ones because your system does a lot of the analysis and the interpretation of the data and just tells the user that you should do this or most likely you should do this and not that. Is that more the case? That
yes. So I think we very much want to see ourselves as that. A company, it's like we're the tech person for the CMO. So definitely. I think the point is that we saw at Trustpilot that certain marketing, both leaders and individuals, failed because they found it very hard to actually understand all the data and the tech. But what we also realized, and at least that took a little bit of time for me to accept, is that the creative sides of a lot of marketing people, where they're talking brand and vision and story, is actually very valuable as well and makes a huge impact.
Mm-hmm.
But it's hard to be good at both. And so we need to create tools where we can help the more creative marketing person be creative and test things as long as that person accepts that they have to measure things before they start doing things. And they have to accept the results, given that, well, I believe my brand campaign is really working, but when the data shows you that it doesn't, then you have to start accepting that. And when you see that, then I think that's gonna be the future of the CMO. I think we're already seeing that the alternative is that the CMO becomes an engineer. And I don't think necessarily that's a good way of doing things.
Yeah, I think that it's a quite cool thing because what you do is you take the data out of the equation because data is more tech and is not that creative part, but you replace that with insights. And insights is what a creative person can work with. You give him a much more valuable input than a bunch of figures and they have to do the interpretation themselves. But I agree with you, there has to be trust. You have to trust that the data crunching that you do delivers trustful insights, and that you should also base your further decisions on that instead of I know it better.
Exactly. And so, I think that one of the things, key differences that we learned at least, was that if you're in an organization, start talking the same language, that being money, a lot of things are much easier. I think if you look at the best SaaS companies or software companies in San Francisco, you'll see that all the product teams, they are responsible for revenue. They're responsible for delivering revenue with products. And I think marketing teams need to be that the same. I think you're seeing some marketing teams are responsible for revenue, but too many are responsible for generating more leads. That's a bad vanity matrix.
Absolutely. So the revenue marketing is the way to go. And I fully.
I think that we should not talk about data-driven marketing, but we should really talk about revenue-driven, revenue-responsible.
So we believe that we need to automate a lot of the revenue, and in the sense that I think actually you can automate a lot of decision-making here. I think there's some ads where we don't need people involved anymore to make a decision whether we should close it down or replace it. There are also a lot of insights we can actually generate automatically and send out to marketers or salespeople saying, hey, if you pitch a little bit, that sales a little bit different, then you will actually close more deals.
Cool. So Ole, to be honest, this sounds like a utopia to me, right? So this software really could help me. So, and as a marketer, so I imagine there is a lot of listeners that also think, hey, this could be something for me. For you as a company, you already indicated you're focusing on B2B, but what kind of marketers or what kind of companies are the best fit for Dream Data?
So it's typically companies who start caring whether whether they're actually making money on all their crazy marketing ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And want to prove that. And then it's companies that should, so size-wise, they are very different. So they vary from maybe 20, 30 people up to several thousand people.
Mm-hmm.
So I think the sizes doesn't matter that much, but it matters that they care a little bit about actually collecting data, and they wanna do an effort to become better and trust data.
Is your software or your platform, does that require a lot of knowledge of data, or is it really, if I'm a company that lacks these data scientists, marketeers, and we're more, let's say, creative marketers, would you say, well, that Dream Data is a really a good fit for those kind of organizations, because we take all the data issues out of the equation, and it's very easy to use.
Yes, definitely. You should definitely not be a data scientist to kind of be able to understand the data. The users we are targeting right now is those who are not able to like optimize towards Google Analytics. And for the advanced users, then it's those who's used to using Google Analytics.
Okay, cool. So that's the also the ones that are traditional marketers.
Exactly.
Okay, cool.
So we're not trying to change that in any way. And also the setup and getting things running and kind of getting data floating through. But our experience is that that's usually pretty easy. We, of course, need to put a script on your website and so, but usually it goes pretty fast.
Okay, so I think for a lot of marketers, it might be interesting to see a demo or whatsoever. So you're offering that on DreamData.io, get a free demo. So I think it's pretty interesting to see if we can get people, marketers, listeners to sign up for that. The last thing that I would very much like to know on your end is what are you doing as a company, and what kind of MarTech stack are you using as a company to basically do your marketing?
Sure. So what we use as foundation to tracking and kind of ingesting all our data is segment.com. So I think that's a fundamental of kind of how we think about things. We believe that our marketing tech stack is not something, it is something that's going to change. Mm-hmm. Right now, our primary tool for us is Intercom.
Okay.
Where we use both the chat and also the email functionalities to sending out. And that's actually our fundamental. We use HubSpot as well, but we actually only use the CRM part.
Okay.
So the setup is pretty simple. What we then do often behind the scene is we do a lot of data crunching. That's maybe also because we're the company we are.
Understandable.
Right. We of course use the data that we kind of build with our own product, and then we join it with different kind of insights where we're buying segmentation data. And that way we can actually do a lot of automation. And then we of course use LinkedIn sales manager or navigator.
It's called. Yep. And you're doing Facebook and Instagram retargeting, I noticed on my timeline.
Yeah, definitely. So of course we're using the usual suspects of Facebook, LinkedIn, and Google.
So probably that's worthwhile in your attribution, because you must have investigated that. To come back to your first point, because you said you're using segment.com, right?
Mm-hmm.
So I think you're the first guest in our podcast, at least, that talks about it. For the listeners that are not familiar with segment.com, could you explain what that does for you?
Yeah, so segment.com is the company who's defined the category called customer data platform.
CDPs.
Yes, CDPs. Though Segment actually likes to call themselves a CDI, so a customer data infrastructure.
Mm-hmm.
And so they help you. You put that one tracking script on your website, and then you enable whatever tools you need with a click on a button inside an interface.
Cool.
That makes it very easy for you to kind of migrate and move around, but they also store your data. So when you move to another tool, you can actually replay the data into that new tool, which is very useful.
Yeah.
They help you with privacy. So in these GDPR and privacy, privacy is now also an issue in the States, right?
Then
we need a platform where we can actually manage that. Both be aware if we do mistakes. So if we send privacy data into a tool we didn't want to, or if we actually need to apply to, for example, the forget requests from the
from the GDPR legislation. Yeah,
those kind of things. So Segment helps you with that. They can also help you synchronize your Salesforce or HubSpot data into a data warehouse.
Mm-hmm.
Or your tracking data also goes into a data warehouse.
Okay, that's
bringing whatever you want. Yeah,
and that's bringing a lot of value to you, because I think we've talked to a lot of people that are using marketing automation for some of these of the functions you're mentioning. But I don't think we've had anyone using segment.com yet. Yeah, we had some CDPs as well, but Segment, we haven't had a guest for that yet. So cool to hear.
Definitely recommend people to look at that. I would also give that what the big difference between using a CDP or Segment and doing marketing automation is that often when you do marketing automation, you end up buying a suite that can do everything.
Yeah,
but it's pretty bad at least 80% of the stuff it does.
Yeah.
Where with Segment, you have the option of buying tools that are good for what they do.
Yeah, best of breed.
Exactly. And that's what you want to have.
Okay, cool. So I think we had some very useful insights. I think the listeners can go ahead with that and use those tools as well. They could also ask for a free demo on your website, dreamdata.io, and I'll put it in the show notes, of course. Is there something as a afterburner that you would like to share with us, Ale, before we end this session?
I think only as a marketeer, you must be the business. You must drive revenue. That is the key focus you must have in the next coming years.
Absolutely. So revenue-driven marketing is number one for you.
Yeah, and I think what I would like to add too is don't be afraid of the data, because there's always a system that takes care of that.
Yeah,
and definitely
one of them is Dream Data. So Ole, thank you very much. We'll share your LinkedIn profile so people can connect with you on LinkedIn. We'll put that in the show notes as well. And thank you very much for your time and your insights and being on the Marketing Technology Podcast.
Thank you for having me. Enjoy it.
Thanks for listening to this episode of the Marketing Technology Podcast. If you enjoyed this podcast, please leave us a review on iTunes and subscribe to our channel. Also, if you would like to be a guest on the show, or if you know anyone that should be a guest to our show, drop me an email through e.crum@marketingguys.nl or take a look at the website marketingguys.com. Thanks for listening.